What's up, world? It's Spotty Wi-Fi, the king of the crypto punks, and you are now tuned in to Fired Up on the Blockchain with my guy, Travi. I get a little
fired up. I'm like, Travi, come on now. Like, you got this under control.
Yo, it's your boy Nessie the Rilla from the east to the west. You already know who does it best. We fired up on the blockchain with Travi. Let's go.
What's up? It's your Web3 bestie, Liz Morrison, and I'm Toy Encendida en la cadena de bloques con Travi.
This is It's Becky Bitch. You're listening to my guy, my Web3 bestie, Trav, at Fired Up on the Blockchain.
Yo, what's up? It's G Love, and I'm fired up with Travi.
What up, y'all? This is Sammy Ariaga. I'm fired up on the blockchain with Travi.
I'm Ray Isla, and I'm fired up on the blockchain with Travi.
Aloha, everyone. This is your boy Yassad with the band Pepper, and I'm fired up on the blockchain with my boy Travi. All right.
I'm Juliet from the So Cool Girls, and I'm fired up with Travi.
This is OSF, and I'm getting wrecked with Travi.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends and degens, for the thousands in attendance and the millions listening in podcast land, my name is Travi, and we are fired up on the blockchain.
Hey, Travi, let's effing go. I get a little
fired up. Woo! Welcome back to Fired Up on the Blockchain with Travi. This is Travi. I'm super excited to bring you an exclusive interview with the one and only Becky Wowo, her first and only podcast interview since joining Web3. That's right. Over the last couple of years, Becky has been my day one friend, amiga, homie, whatever you want to call it, in this space. We basically got started working in Web3 around the same time. So we're going to talk a lot about what the beginnings were like from Becky taking herself and creating a whole brand around who she is, and then how she was able to parlay that into working with some of the most amazing people and successful teams in all of Web3. We're going to talk about how we saw the Web3 space rise and the eventual, well, let's just say it's been a bit of a roller coaster lately. Got to give a big shout out to some people who were a part of our early journey, like M and Maddie and Nuna and D-Rose and Plunk and Jodes and Misty and Sparks and Brandon and Lady Crypto and Jenna and so many others. Now let's get into it.
Hey, it's time for school.
Oh, as we get to the end of season one of Fired Up on the Blockchain with Travi, I'm taking a look back, as many of you know, at the last year to 2 years of my time in Web3. And the podcast was always kind of meant to be a glimpse behind the curtain, nothing too doxing or anything, even more just like, you know, document your journey, so to speak. And I have to say, there's one person who's been part of my journey from day one, my day one friend, the one and only Becky Wowo, also known as...
It's Becky, bitch. I say that with three eyes, so it's not totally a curse word.
No, Becky, thank you so much. Yeah, I don't think that we can have an end of season one of Fired Up without, you know, my day one friend in the space. You know, you have been instrumental, I feel like, in just someone who's been a voice for us to hear. You've been an ear for many of us to listen to. You've established your brand. I think a lot of people even had a chance to get to know you from the Clubhouse days and then the eventual transition over Twitter spaces, your work with Liz with Web3 Besties and Girls Night in Web3. A lot of people know Vic. I think I knew of Vic separately from you. And then when I realized you and I were going to work together at one point, I was super excited. And of course, there's so many other things we can talk about. But first of all, Becky, how are you? How have things been going? We've missed you so much.
Hi, Trav. It is so good to be back in the space and doing this podcast with you. I really miss Web3 as we knew it, as we came into it. I am fully aware that things have to adapt and change, and that's just the way of the world. But I really miss you guys. Our community of people became a second family to me, very much a support system. And I think it was the energy we all gave each other that kept us all showing up every day and continuing to go into Twitter spaces, continuing to get to know each other, and then finding, you know, the project works that we loved, and I miss it. I'm good. I'm trying to survive in real life right now. But yeah, I really miss you guys. I miss the Web3 community vibes as we knew them. But yeah, I'm good. How are you, Trav?
I'm good. Kind of in a similar but different, you know, position. One of the things that's similar about it, of course, is you and I kind of got our footing around the same time, really establishing who we were as people who had ideas in the space and just kind of really wanted to do good and find the good in other people. And, you know, over time, when we got away from those WAGME sort of days and a little bit more into the, you know, hey, everything is harder to sell off in terms of your NFTs. You know, their audiences to Twitter spaces, audiences to podcasts, anything that was Web3 related kind of echoed the market, right? And we started to kind of feel like, on one hand, holy cow, what is happening here, right? Like, it's getting a little bit crazy. Like, these scam things are going on over here. These bad links and scammers, or whatever you want to call them, is going on over there. But then one thing that really kind of helped me, I think, was right around the time I started this podcast, which was just over a year ago, you and Liz started Girls Night in Web3 and eventually established your Web3 Besties kind of brand there. And I think you were the glue for a lot of people. Like, it really did become a family environment. We met a lot of people through there. Many of the people who are builders in the space, people who have respect from giant communities, would come out even on a night where, you know, maybe it was a lighter overall Twitter space night. Like, you could have 50 people, 100 people, 20 people, and the quality of people who you and Liz brought, it was always pretty dynamic and pretty awesome, where sometimes those spaces would go like 7 hours long. And, you know, shout out to Liz for never making it through those long ones, you know, fast asleep. But it's one of the things that we...
Beauty. I love her.
Yeah. Well, obviously we joke. Liz has been on the podcast before. She's in our introduction, of course. And I just think, like, there are little things you point to kind of like hold it all together, like the glue. And you kind of talked about that, like that community and the friends and stuff like that. How did that really establish for you? I guess that's my question, because when I met you through the Web3 space, you know this, like, to me, like, you're already a star or a champion in my eyes and somebody who I had a lot of respect for. You were close with the owners of, you know, a team that you and I eventually worked on. So how did that all begin for you as somebody who knew that they had a lot to offer to the Web3 space and eventually could bring so many people together?
Yeah. So, I mean, my first NFT was my wedding gift, and it was a crypto chick, and that really started my journey. That collection was, and honestly, still to this day, that art is what brought me into the space. My husband had been, it was NFT summer, right? We got married in December 2021. He was so deep in the space, and I was working at the time in, you know, corporate life and planning our wedding, and didn't really have the ability to dive as deep as he was diving. And it was probably like mid-November. We're getting married December 3rd. So I'm like, okay, I'm kind of off the clock. Now I just got to show up to this wedding, and hopefully all the prep work I did will pay off. And I found CryptoChicks looking through Twitter. And I should say also, Vic got into NFTs from Clubhouse. So we were in Clubhouse early, you know, during the pandemic when no one could see anyone or do anything. Clubhouse, this audio app, came through. And both him and I were in, you know, the Clubhouse chats. Vic became friends with Farouk on Clubhouse, and that's kind of where the ball got rolling. Anyways, okay, so fast forward. So I found CryptoChicks searching NFTs. I was like, okay, well, if my husband's so deep in this for like months now, this isn't just a phase. Like, what's going on? And I found CryptoChicks just searching on Twitter and fell in love with the art. Knew that that art matched my personality, like my most authentic self, and honestly found it crazy that a piece of generative art could match me so well. And it wasn't just me. It was every female like me. And then that became something bigger than myself. And I kind of did like a book report and I was like, okay, babe, I love crypto chicks. This is, if I'm going to go into this, this is the, you know, ship I want to sail with. And he ended up buying me my first NFT as a wedding gift. And that pretty much launched me into this space in the way that I came in. I said I got married December 3rd, that same December, I think it was like December 21st or December 23rd. I started my DGen Twitter account, and keep in mind, I'm freshly married. So I like have this new name now, right? I go from like my maiden name to Becky Wowo. And I'm like, okay, this is too cool. Like I have this fresh start in a very fresh industry where everyone is trying to figure it out and trying to figure out who they're going to be and what kind of presence they're going to have and how they're going to establish themselves. And I was like, okay, let's get into it. Like I'm down for the ride. And that's really where it all started. And I just kept showing up. I grew this, you know, the at Becky Wowo, but my name has always had my ENS in it. So it's BeckyBitch.eth, little heart emoji forever. And I just kept going and I kept meeting people and networking. And honestly, it was being into NFTs as a female. I think that was a big differentiator back then. I was looking for other females that were also into NFTs and then also trying to figure out what can I add to this space? What kind of value can I bring? How could my skill set translate to progress this industry forward? Like, how can I leave even just the tiniest mark of good out of this very, very large, almost a social experiment, but I didn't know that I was doing one. Like that was never the intention. That was more of the result.
Mm-hmm. I completely understand that. Yeah. While a social experiment is right, I think a lot of us look at things that we've done in the Web3 space and learned from it and look back and been like, wow, that really was an experiment. Like I was trying something so new that maybe like maybe we try to do similar things in real life, like be a connector, you know, like a marketer, like things like that. Try to have fresh ideas for like a brand new, I don't know, digital renaissance or whatever. A lot of people have been calling it lately. But I didn't realize. So you got in, that was at the end of 2021.
End of 2021. Yeah. Vic was like through the whole NFT summer, which was summer of 2021. We got married December 3rd, 2021. And I started that account end of December. It was like right before Christmas. And the funny thing is, Vic and I were home. We weren't visiting family. We were home with COVID.
You and I went through very many like similarities in kind of like before we got started. And I remember that obviously that summer. And slightly right before the summer was like when the VFriends thing all happened, and that onboarded a lot of people into the space. And I think it eventually led to clearly, you know, a spike in like ETH and everything. ETH was up to $4,500 USD, and things were a little crazy. What I wanted to then say was that it feels like it was a long stretch, but it was not that long of a stretch until you and I were voted onto council of the same RAND. And like, that was absolutely like just this whirlwind of like, is this really happening? Is this like the future of like what we're going to be doing with our lives? Like, are we going to really be working alongside these like dynamic women and working on these awesome teams in Web3? And like, I guess the short answer was like, yes. But then the long answer was like, you look at the market, like nothing lasts forever, or like you look at certain individuals and their needs. And like many Web3 brands, there were shifts, there were changes, there were ownership groups that changed over time. And it just led to different dynamics. And you saw different people like kind of moving around, working for different teams. What were those few months like in between? You just mentioned you guys are home, you know, you guys are home with the virus. It's winter time. And then, you know, that led to an eventual big problem that the brand that you mentioned had, where the original artist was exposed to having done like a copy of something like that, something, and then we saw like a lot of crazy things happen within that brand. The ones that you mentioned, I think it's on the record, none of those were copies or anything like that. It was generative art, but there was something from the original collection where one of them was. So then the brand scrambled a little bit to try to find kind of a new footing, new direction, stuff like that. And they looked at, and at the time, the word community actually meant something really important because it was a 10K collection. And there were a lot of active people in that community. So I don't really remember exactly how it led to that, but like you and I ended up on this team together and kind of like I was on that for like a year, I guess, after that. So anyway, what was that time like for you, that kind of in between and then the eventual, you know, being voted on to council? And then obviously that was kind of like a big start for like a really crazy, well, how long was that? A year or so, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that in-between time for me lasted from December to March. And in March is when everything picked up. So I had mentioned that when I came into this space, I always wanted to do it with intention. Like I was there, but I wanted to actively participate. I didn't want to just sit on the sidelines. I wanted to know who was involved, who cared, and really like build a community of people that cared about this common interest, but getting to know other people because we had all been cooped up inside for almost an entire year. So I got into this space. I networked really heavy on Twitter, and that was truly just having very honest, open, authentic conversations with people and really allowing myself to open up as authentically myself. One of the things that came out of my PFP, my original with the upturned lip and all the attitude, matching that with my ENS, which is clearly a play on Britney Spears, which tells you I'm just a product of my upbringing and probably ages me a little bit, but that's okay. It opened the door for me to have this extreme level of authenticity that I didn't feel I could have in the corporate world that I was coming from and very recently coming from, and honestly had very recently just been burnt. It was my second layoff of my career. I was in a vulnerable place and I didn't have a whole lot of confidence, but this PFP that wasn't my face, which I loved, I have really bad camera anxiety. I always have. And
wait, that wasn't your face? I would swear that's your face.
Okay, well, she was my twin. Absolutely. She looked exactly like me, which was bizarre. But yeah, I don't know how to explain this, but it just wasn't my face. So I felt like I had runway. There wasn't this preconceived judgment of who I am, who I would be, how I would act, how I would talk. And I think with my actual face and my actual blonde hair and the way that I naturally express myself, it always came with this little like caveat of like, is she serious? Is she quality? Is she worth my time? And this hard-hitting ENS and super sassy PFP gave me permission, but I think using this fresh start in this new industry, I gave myself permission to just be Becky at like 1,000% max volume. And that is where the magic happened. So I spent those months just networking, not even meaning to really, but playing. I called it playing in the space. I was like playing in the sandbox with my friends at preschool, you know? And that's kind of what it felt like because we were all so early. We didn't know what the playground was going to look like in a year. We didn't even know if there was going to be a playground in a year. We were just chilling in the sandbox, like hyping each other up. And it was fun and it was wholesome. And I was truly myself. And with that, I was like, okay, I have this personality. It's working, I guess you could say. I'm connecting with people who I am fascinated by, absolutely love, totally connect with, and I now know that I need to contribute. So I started a newsletter called DGen Diaries.
DGen Diaries, shout out.
I know. I miss Eugene Diaries. It was a total play on Mean Girls branding. So, like, my original idea was to make it a blockchain blog. And this was before – okay, I'm not going to say before, but before I was aware of anyone publishing, like, blogs or writing pieces on the blockchain. So I didn't know of any technology that existed at the time. But my, like, whole goal, hope, and dream was to have this blog on a blockchain, which I just thought was so cool. So I branded it Mean Girls. It was kind of like the burn book. And my slogan was, let it out, honey, write it on the blockchain. I never really got around to putting it on the blockchain. It actually lived and died on Twitter's newsletter app called Review. But anyways, the point still stands. So I launched Eugene Diaries. And really, it was a wrap-up of what I was seeing in the space from my point of view. So that was like the diary part of it. But at the same time, I was starting to really get into Twitter spaces. So I was putting in spaces that I had either been on just as a guest talking, spaces that I had been invited to be a panelist on. I wasn't hosting anything of my own at this point in time. I was still very new and kind of just getting my feet wet and seeing what, you know, what could happen. And I launched this newsletter and my click-through rate was like, my open rate was insane. It was like 67%, I think, in my second issue, which to me was so high, right? I'm coming from a corporate marketing background and like, you're lucky to get like 16% of people. So that was so cool. And I had like over 200 subscribers almost immediately. It was just, it was really encouraging. So I did that. And with that, I was connecting with a lot of the project's leaders at the time and, you know, shouting them out. It truly was just my review of what was happening in the space at the time. You know, everything was moving a million miles an hour at that point in time. So there was almost no way you could catch everything. And this was my way of like giving back to the community. Like, here's what I've caught. If you didn't, here's your opportunity. I would include articles from NFT Now, from Decrypt, just, you know, whatever felt in theme and felt interesting. And then I kind of put my little like Mean Girls personality into it. My headlines were all like a play on very famous Mean Girls quotes. Like one of my, like, I'm a degen, duh, like that's on my Twitter now. And that's literally from Degen Diaries. Yeah, so I started that and then really got, obviously, I'm sporting my CryptoChicks PFP. So I got really close with the collection, its leadership, its community base. And that was a blessing to me. It was the place that I felt the most at home. And I got to just show up and be myself and rep for this thing that I had totally fallen head over heels in love with. And that's what connected me with Maddie and Em. And I just couldn't believe they were inviting me up on stage to actually speak on anything. And then I started, you know, people got to know me and realized I came from a marketing background. I started getting invited to speak on marketing topics. And then it was like, okay, how do I like actually use this skill set and all the things that we're talking about and implement it? Like, I, at this point, I'm like, okay, I'm already networking with project leaders. Like, how do I get into the space also? I'm coming off of my corporate job, right? Your girl still has life to live and my lifestyle is a little expensive. So I'm like, okay, I need to make some money. Can we like do two things at one time? And that's really how I got into the project work I ended up doing. But that networking and that like really strong belief, even through all, you know, the plagiarism roller coaster that we had to go through early in the collection days, I was just so loud and proud to be a crypto chick because to me, what mattered the most was the community of people. And it was those relationships and those bonds that no matter what, I wanted to keep around. So I think I became this like kind of honorary cheerleader. And that's really what launched into the community council where you and I first started working together. And that was the beginning of everything.
You know, what's crazy is like, I wish we can bottle up some of that and maybe just pour a little out every now and then just to get those vibes back. Because obviously, like, and I get it, right? Like, nothing lasts forever. Things change. Like, obviously you could be a sports fan and you know what it's like when your team is running through the playoffs and then they make their way to the championship game. It did have a bit of that to it because we started from wherever, right? We call it Web 2, but like it's just means like real life. And then we tried and established our way through networking, but like doing it, as you said, and this is something I want to touch back on, in a very real and authentic way. And there's not that many of us who did it like that. I mean, there's plenty, but when you look at like the overall space, percentages, things like that, so many people come in to gamble, you know, to flip, to maybe get involved with the utility of certain NFT brands and stuff like that. But like initially when people said the word builders, I just thought that they meant devs and stuff. Cause like, that's kind of how it was. Like they were literally building the train tracks that like the train was about to hopefully roll on. And which, by the way, the train wasn't built yet. We're building it as we're kind of going forward. So there were so many things that we saw, and then we saw people from these communities that we were close with, you know, kind of leave the space. Here's the thing about the community, that the communities that you just mentioned, or that you could have held zero of those crypto chicks and still been a part of this bond, this community, this team, or whatever you want to call it, that you were sort of a part of. And, you know, Maddie and Emma always said it like that too. Like you could just hop in at the time. Discords were super popular and kind of a necessity. And people could come in and just chat. And I remember there were some people who I didn't realize didn't even have crypto chicks. And they, you know, they would come in and I think one of them like won one at one point, another person won another, and they finally felt like, holy cow. And you're also talking too at a time when like crypto chicks at one point, like they were well over two ETH to get, like to buy them. So there were a lot of things that happened in that course of time. But beyond the community that you mentioned, beyond the hopping into Twitters and Discords, working along with like these ownership teams was something that you and I found ourselves doing over the course of the year. Before we get to a little bit more about, you know, working with teams, ownership teams, stuff like that, being real and authentic in a space where most people, you don't know what they look like, you know, you don't know what they're up to in real life. And not that you necessarily always need to, but, you know, this was a time too back then where people had faces that you weren't sure of and names you weren't sure of. And they were launching these gigantic projects and making millions upon millions of dollars. And then we didn't see them again. And so, you know, speaking of, you know, dichotomy of things, like to be able to see the owners of this team that you and I were kind of on the council of, work with them on a weekly basis, eventually, obviously, seeing them in person at NFT NYC and working alongside them and stuff. And Maddie, who, you know, I still follow her journey and things that she's doing. And Nuna, shout out Nuna, of course, as well. It almost felt surreal. It felt surreal to be working with these owners of this great thing. They're real people. But you know, Web3 is like not really quite established yet. And we knew like we were on board and hopefully not only saving this brand, but also like building Web3 in like a weird way.
Yeah. You mentioned builders and, you know, how we thought of them as the devs, the people writing the smart contracts and building the capability to have this generative art that is now sold on the blockchain. I actually did not think I was qualified to be a builder. I would have never described myself as a builder, especially in those early days. I don't think it hit me until I was working with my second project that I was like, oh, I'm literally showing up every day to like build what could be the future of this collection. Like, this is building. I am a builder. But I just didn't think of myself that way at all. I was so in awe of not only the devs and the technology that we were playing with in our sandbox, right? To carry the analogy through. I was so, so impressed with the project leaders, the way that they were able to catapult these brands into the mainstream of this very niche market that, as you said, was very expensive to be playing in at the time. It was an honor to me to be not just acknowledged, but included. And I think that gave me a level of confidence that I didn't even know that I needed to kind of take the training wheels off and really try, like really go all in and start doing some of the project work. So yeah, I think deep down, the idea of having this brand that I owned just, you know, an asset of at the time, it was really, it was just special. There was a special feeling to it. It was really rewarding to be part of a community with these super top-notch, very intelligent, extremely capable women really taking the reins and me like, nah, we're out here. Like, this is Crypto Chicks. We are throwing a party at NFT NYC. Like, this will be the talk of the town. And like, it happened, and it was. And it was so incredible. And after networking, like you said, behind these PFPs, not all of us really knew what each other looked like in real life. And then meeting for the first time, and it felt so inner circle in a way that I was not expecting, but it made it all very real. And I will say, I lived in Seattle at the time, just outside Seattle in Bellevue. And I actually was able to meet Maddie early. I want to say we met up in like February. I'm getting like Valentine's Day vibes. I want to say it was around February. So I got to meet her in person. Like, I know she's real. Like, I met her. I met her boyfriend. She met me and my husband, who, you know, we've all been kind of networking together in this space at this point for a few months. And that really solidified for me how important it was that if I cared about this space, I really needed to keep going and give it my all. And I think Maddie saw that, obviously Em saw that, and that's really how I got so close with them. And yeah, shouts to both of them. And yeah, I love Maddie and Nuna. It was the whole crew, man. I remember going into the Crypto Chicks Discord, and I was not like a Discord fiend by any means, but there was just really, there was such cool people. Turtle was in there. D-Rose was in there. You and I connected, I feel like, the most over Discord in the earliest days. And it was just this vibe. I remember we were talking about like Kanye West lyrics, and I would like spit some lyrics out through the chat. And all you guys would be like, wait, what? Like, this little girl with a pink PFP. And I'm like, oh, you don't even know. I'm coming with some heat. Like, consider yourself an honorary introduction to this lyrical genius that's right in front of you. I'm just kidding. But yeah, no, I love me some good rap lines. And it was just this bond, and it was that super authentic. Like, that's a piece of me that only like my husband and closest friends know, right? Like, I remember my husband and I, before we got married, we did like a joint batch party, and we got a boat. And of course my husband and I both made the playlist, but there were so many like Drake and Kanye songs, and I'm just like everyone, like spitting it. And my friends are like, what? What is going on with you? And I'm like, this is my vibe. This is what I do. So it was just such an intimate piece of me that I was able to share with that community. It was reciprocated. And you kind of just knew that like your people were out there. And how ironic that it took this niche industry, a collection within this niche industry, to find your people, like to find your tribe. But it was beautiful. It was magic.
One thing I remember from those days, when you kind of were in Discord, but also on Twitter spaces at the same time, like people were typing and other people were talking and there was just that community. You mentioned Turtle. First of all, I played golf with Turtle, by the way. I miss that dude. Like, I hope to see him, hang out with him again. D-Rose is somebody who, you know, I have a lot of respect for it too in the space, especially, ranking his top hip hop artists of all time. We had a few conversations about that within those discords as well. But one thing you said reminded me of something that was special to me. And this is when I think it clicked for me, was you were on a Twitter space with Em and Maddie, and I'm literally holding like my new baby, because we have, you know, a couple. So I was with one, wife was with another one. And I really wanted to speak on this Twitter space. And you remember probably, if you're listening out there, what it's like to be on a Twitter space, maybe have an idea, maybe you're just like not sure of how you're going to sound. So like you're not really doing it. So I was kind of in that mind frame. And in the Discord afterwards, you said something like, oh, you should have hopped on. Like, we would have really loved to hear from you. Like, you got to do it next time or something like that. And that small little gesture of you even just acknowledging the fact that I'm there, like I'm listening, I want to participate, I can't, like just the kindness that you offered, I'm not able to put it into words in the best way of like what actually happened at that time, because you know you're kind of a walking zombie when you got a little baby. But you offering that showed me like that I can also enter, you know, because you mentioned like Mean Girls references and stuff like that. And looking out at that time, when you're looking at a very high established NFT brand with, let's be honest, to a lot of people, intimidating women, and then, you know, you as well in the Twitter, like it's intimidating for people to feel like they could even like sit at that table.
Like, I wish we could go back and bottle that, because it was that energy that, I mean, that's what I was there for. Like, that's what kept me so anchored and so deep in the CC community.
Yeah. And a lot of us have stayed in touch. You know, I know Fanzo is somebody who was involved in the early days of CC, was, you know, talked to. I think when I was on this, most of the things I think I talked about on his podcast were CC back in the early days. Then, of course, probably Spotty Wi-Fi, because I'm always talking about that too. You know, and then you kind of think about friends that we had that we really don't always think about as like Web3 friends anymore. Like, time goes on and people are just your friends, you know. And somebody that sticks out in my mind, of course, is Sparks, or Nikki Sparks. She herself has seen a whole lot of interesting things in the Web3 space, from, you know, working with the Fame Lady Squad to the Fame Lady Society to, of course, being on the council with you and me. What's one thing that sticks out to you about Sparks, you know, that really, she seems like just somebody who is really just down to help. And she seems like someone who always has like a really creative and quality solution for like a problem that you like weren't even expecting to come. What do you want people to know about Sparks?
Yeah, my favorite, that's a perfect entry into exactly what I was going to say. She's a yes, we can. And I love her so deeply for that. Every single thing I threw at her, these lofty, crazy ideas, and this is obviously like referencing, you know, the later parts of my journey when the three of us were all working together. Almost everything I brought to her was like, yeah, we can do that. No, this isn't too crazy. This isn't too big. We can accomplish this. It would take X, Y, Z. And her brain just knows how to put together what I would need technically to accomplish this creative goal. And she has a brain that can just see both sides. She is such a creative in her own right, but she understands the technology at a level that, I mean, someone like me can only aspire to. I'm literally reading blockchain basics, like, just to make sure I have clarity on this thing, you know, we've been in for the last like 18, 24 months. The irony, but she has this way of blending the creativity and the technology, but then also she has such a rich network, and it was almost like she could always connect you with someone that either did that in the Web2 space or was dreaming that up for the Web3 space. Yeah, she's a yes, we can, like, type of person. And I also agree that she is someone you can call anytime, day or night. And literally, like, there was a point where you and her and Liz and my husband were like the only support system I really had and trusted. Like, you four, like, can't even tell you how many months at a time you guys kept me afloat.
Yeah. we were, you know, happy to keep you afloat because you, like I said, tied a lot of us together. And of course, we didn't all know exactly everything that was going on from every side or whatever. But, you know, we saw what we saw. We, you know, tried to just kind of like steer the ship in a way that like wasn't going to create, you know, too many waves and stuff like that. And I think everybody just wanted the best and hope for the best with regard to some of the brands and stuff. And one thing I will say too about Sparks is a lot of people don't know this. So in my first couple of podcasts, I would send it to her and I would say, what does this sound like? Like, is this too much of this, too much of that? Did it go on too long? And she took time out of her day, like listening to me, who she barely, you know, I mean, she knew me through work, but like not, you know, not to the point where I was like comfortable asking favors, but I did ask her. And she would take that time out, listen to it, tell me what, you know, a little too much of this, not enough of this, the volume here, the volume there. And when I told her when we were launching the journey, which a lot of people out there know was really a couple different mechanisms to do some creative, like in my opinion, creative, like fundraising things where we could get, you know, funds out to kids and funds out to artists building in the space and some other things that we are continuing to work on with our foundation as well that we partnered with. When I told Sparks about that, I was like, hey, you know, here's a thing that I'm doing. Like, I'd love for you to be someone who picks one up. She's like, is yours? I'm going to get two. And I was like, oh man, like that's the kind of person that Sparks is. But I think, you know, a lot of us stuck together, you know, and I think that's kind of like the crux of it because, you know, you did go on, you have worked on different teams, and we don't have to go too deep into really any of like those kind of the teams or like any other leaders and stuff like that, because I feel like looking back, like we know now what we didn't know then and that kind of stuff. What was your overall impression like kind of working along on different teams? What some things that you could, you know, tell people about who are thinking about really hopping into Web3? You've seen some ups on some teams, you've seen some downs on some teams, you've seen ownerships change hands, you've seen your role sort of change shape sometimes day to day. Just what was that experience like for you, and what's something you would tell someone who's interested in just hopping into Web3 as like a real quote-unquote J-O-B?
It's a whirlwind. Absolutely be ready for whatever that project, that brand could throw at you. There were so many things that I was able to do that in a corporate structure, you have like your specialties, right? And there's hierarchy and there's certain things that employees at different levels just don't touch. Like there's things that directors and heads of marketing do that a specialist in a more entry-level role would never like have permission to, you know, participate in unless that's their job duty. And my favorite part about working in Web3 was kind of throwing away that hierarchy. And I don't mean that in terms of respect. Absolutely, respect still has to stay in place. And if you're working with a team that you already respect and, you know, kind of idolize, that's not hard to do. But you have to be ready to adapt on the fly every day, not only to your role and, you know, the value that you're looking to contribute, but also to the industry as a whole. The industry changes. The industry today is very, very different than the industry that I worked within in the project work that I was doing. And the last project work I did was 4 months ago. Like in those 4 months, the industry has changed so much. But job opportunities in the space have also changed so much. There aren't that many project roles that I see out there and available anymore, which is definitely obviously influenced my potential transition back into the corporate world. But there are opportunities available in terms of layer 1, layer 2 companies, which are the ones like actually building the tech. There's a lot of I'm not going to say a lot, it's limited, and they are looking now for more people with expertise, but getting in there and being able to roll up your sleeves, I think is probably one of the biggest, most beneficial abilities that any Web3, whether it's project-based, NFT-based, or, you know, crypto and technology layer-based, I just think that, one, you have to care. You have to have a passion for it. And we don't stick around for 18 months in, you know, a bear market with only slowing, you know, for us socially and obviously in terms of work opportunity. But you don't stick around if you don't love it. And I think when you know that you love it, you know you have something to contribute, and you kind of go in with this, sure, why not me? Sure, why not try? Sure, like, we can do this. You know, the Nikki, yes, we can. Here's how, you know? When you go in with that mentality, it's really freeing. And I would just say, if you love it, don't stop. Keep going. Keep going towards the thing that you love, because that passion is going to be more rewarding than like a paycheck ever could be.
Well, very well said. To me, looking at the future, I see a lot of companies, corporations, you know, using blockchain for things. You know, I don't know that we're going to go back to those days where, you know, a regular PFP that just to kind of be part of a community was, you know, however many ETH. I mean, you're going to see it here and there because people are going to be able to, you know, influence sales and stuff like that. But I've become, I guess I started off as more of like a use case person. Like, the blockchain can be utilized for these ways. And then I got into a little bit more of loving these communities and forming these relationships and these bonds. And I even think back to being in Miami with a lot of, you know, our mutual friends, and, you know, pictures of your PFP like running around and taking pictures as if you were there with us. And that wasn't just that one place. That was also at the World of Women Gala and you know, at during Art Basel and stuff. And there's a lot to love about those times. I don't know if I'm looking back at it almost like September of like when you're a new freshman in a college or like in a high school and everything's fresh and new and like everyone's still kind of friends with each other. Is that kind of how you felt?
Yeah, totally. I think those early days and right when we like joined the community council, and for me, that was the height of the Crypto Chicks community. Those will forever be freshman year, like that section of time. I think I kind of entered my sophomore year when I started picking up project work and got deeper into the Crypto Chicks Council. And like that, the involvement layer, I feel like, was more my sophomore year. And then working heavily, like my, you know, that was my income, that feels like junior year. And now I kind of feel like we're in senior year and we're like, okay, this was like a fun run. And we definitely found the people that were going to carry through with us beyond graduation, to your point of we have, you know, built these relationships, built these bonds, and really connected beyond Web3. We're not just Web3 friends. We're like actual friends. Like, I have you and Nikki and Liz still pinned in my texts. Like, you guys are my top, you know what I mean? Like, you're my top people. And I just don't really see that changing. I think what I miss the most is being so deep in it and so enveloped in it that it was kind of like this. It just surrounded you all the time. Like, there was just this like encapsulating environment that being in and working in Web3 gave me. And that nostalgia, I think, is probably like the memory I carry through being so close with the friends that I made through the vehicle of Web3, but really carrying what I did, what I learned, who I connected with, and truly how I presented myself. Those are the lessons that I feel like as a person, as an individual, I've been able to take with me.
You know, I feel like the lessons that you've learned, obviously, we're looking back now at a whole lot of things that happened. A lot of the lessons we learn, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, whatever, like we learn as we're going through. And then you have a little bit of time to look back. I think that you know, the vast majority, I would say nearly everybody who's worked with you, or has been a part of your Twitter spaces or anything like that, has felt welcome, has felt a community bond with you, felt like there was something a little different about you as a host, as a marketer, as a friend. A lot of friends that we had throughout this space are people that we really had great times with. You know, we didn't necessarily quote unquote flip together. Like that wasn't really kind of the point. I kind of wish I had flipped more things because of where we are at now. But I always looked at the things that you can get out of Web3. I always wanted to put out the best I can be. Like, so when I talk about bringing one love to Web3, like there are things I do in real life with charities and foundations and have worked with kids and have, especially kids with special needs. And like, you realize as you go through that everybody, whether you believe in science or you believe in religion or whatever your personal things are out there, everybody kind of started from like that same place. So nobody's really better or worse than anybody else because we're all the same, like regardless of race, gender, ethnicity, any of that stuff. But then within Web3, you see some people show themselves not as better, but literally showing themselves like as worse. Like, so it really started to show me like it's really taking a lot of work to continue to be this a positive person, because you eventually get to a point where you're kind of like swimming through like 10, you know, bad links or 10 scammers or 10 people saying like, hey, buy this next pump, to just find like the real actual friend like that you set yourself out to make or whatever. And you know, one friend that you've made, and I think it was love at first chicken tender, and that's our friend Liz Morrison, who's, like I said at the beginning, she's in our intro. Now, you and Liz are known for a lot of things, but some things are, you know, kind of inside jokes. So let's talk a little bit too, before we kind of move on to a little bit of my closing questions. Tell me about your relationship with Liz and Web3 Besties and the Girls Night in Web3. That was really over the last year, like I've said, since I started my podcast, you guys actually started like your Twitter space, your kind of own brand together at like the same time. How did that come about? What is it? Where's it going to go? What do we have to look forward to with you and Liz?
Okay. All great questions. I guess I'll take it back to the beginning. So I actually met Liz on the same trip that you and I, Trav, met in person for the first time. It was NFT NYC, June 2022. She was working the event. I was staying at the hotel the event was hosted at. And even though I wasn't actually attending NFT NYC, I had a speaking opportunity at a side event. And of course, I was there to network with the communities that I was very deeply involved in. We had lunch together right outside the hotel that I was staying in and that she was working in. And it really was love at first chicken tendy. And it was funny. I remember my husband, he's like, wait, what are you doing today? Cause he was there for his like professional work, not like degen life, but like actual professional corporate world. And I was like, I have a lunch date. And he's like, with who? And I'm like, this girl named Liz. And he's like, why does she want to meet you? I'm like, I don't really know, but I'm down. So might as well, right? And thank goodness I did. But honestly, that was a big, I should say, there is an ethos to Web3. And it is really, you have to put yourself out there. You are only going to get out of it what you put in. Liz is an amazing example of that. She is very willing to put herself out there, and I truly believe she gets back what she puts in, which is amazing work. I mean, she's an incredible friend and an incredible, I've witnessed her now be, you know, work in Web3 in a full-time role and collaborate with me for our little funsies, which is now Web3 Besties. But when we met in June, we didn't know any of that was coming. We were just two girls that found a love for this space, and that was what we knew we had in common. So we met over lunch, and yeah, we just kind of did fall in love with each other, and she became another one of my Web3 besties. And little did I know, that we were going to, you know, build this brand together. Really how the Twitter space came about is her and I were both speaking on Twitter spaces quite frequently, being invited as panelists. And I hardly ever hosted my own spaces. And everyone had kind of said, like, you know, you're on spaces a lot. Like, why don't you have your own show? And for me, it was, I don't want to put noise into the space. I'm only going to do that if there's actual value in doing it. That was another thing that I think about the culture of Web3 in general. If you were doing any of it for like narcissistic tendencies, it was pretty obvious. I mean, you could tell after a few months if it was self-serving. And I think both Liz and I had this very, like, we have this same, like, open heart mentality. Like, if you let me in, I'm going to let you in. And that's probably why we clicked so well in the beginning. So we meet in the middle of June. By August, we're like, we should host our own Twitter spaces. And we come up with this concept called Girls Night in Web3. And we were like, okay, it's going to be like a, it's not like Girls Night Out, it's Girls Night In, like, you know, Girls Night In Web3. And we're going to do it on Twitter, which is basically Web3 Town Hall. And that's really where the idea was born. And yeah, a year ago, almost today, we launched with season one. And at that point in time, we were running it every other week from each other's like account or like our own Twitter accounts. For season two, we built more of a umbrella brand, which is Web3 Besties, and created a Twitter handle, started running the spaces from that account. And honestly, I'm not sure what's next. I have always alluded to a season three. I think both Liz and I see benefit in coming back, but I know that the space has changed and I know that we are going to have to adapt with it. So I can't make any promises for what comes next, but I think about it a lot. I actually just texted Liz about it a couple of days ago. She's been traveling and I have been simultaneously trying to get my life together and find some employment so that I can survive. And I think when we level out and have the ability to, we will come back. I really miss that community. You mentioned the high caliber people that would come through. Some of my favorite people. I mean, we've had amazing, amazing episodes together. And I think it was because both Liz and I have that. It's almost like what I think in school teachers, TAs call it like an open door policy. We have like an open heart policy. Like if you're here for the right reasons and you're contributing to the space in a way that is authentic to you and, you know, valuable to others, like we want to highlight that. So that's really how we ended up getting guests for our Twitter spaces. Liz has a very rich network. I fortunately had a rich network from the project work that I had done and the projects that I've been involved in and, you know, speaking engagements that I've done and things of that nature. And I think the two of us together, we kind of just became this little dynamic duo. And it's funny because we're so similar, but we are also very different in terms of our skill set. We just see things in a really similar way. So yeah, I don't have a promise on what comes next. It's only half my brand. You know what I mean? Listen, I truly believe that this is something that if we're going to do, we have to do together. And I hope we get back to it more for the sake of the community that we built with our friendships and our inner circle coming together. But also because I don't see a lot of that anymore. It's not Wag Me. It's not, I mean, I'm still Diamond Hands to this day. And I'm not going to say that's a great thing because just like you, I kind of wish that I had flipped and figured out the market a little more in terms of like, you know, the economics of it. But I just consider everything that I've invested, whether it's ETH, even JPEGs, if it's, you know, my time in Web3, the time on Twitter, time spent with, you know, the friends that I've built, it's all a cultural investment to me. And for me, there's been a lot of personal growth. So really, I think that's like been the thread that has woven this entire journey together. And I hope that we can once again put that ethos on display and remind people that while Web3 is not what it used to be for those of us who came in the late 21, early 22 days, it does still exist. It is an industry, and there will be some of us that will be considered OGs, and some of us won't come back, and that's okay too, but at least we've made friends along the way and hopefully lifelong memories.
Exactly. And one of the things about being friends is like, you don't always have to talk about NFTs, you know? And I think that some of the podcasts, I actually had really interesting emails from people saying that they liked that that weren't so NFT heavy. And I get it, because people are real people. Like we are all in it 24/7 the way that we were, because we're trying to, you know, help run someone else's brand, establish our own thing. We got friends who are in other things that are calling us for advice, and it's going on all over the world. You got folks in India, China, literally Australia, like Twitter spaces and, you know, Discord meetings, all these things that were going on to run a company never ended. But that's why I think what you and Liz were able to start to put together is so special. And if and when you do come back for your season three, you don't, in my opinion, it does need to be JPEG heavy, because when I look at some of the friends that we made through your thing, like, gotta give shout outs to Graham and Anna Skates. Anna Skates was actually on our previous episode with Tess, her crypto, talking about like tech, the future of tech and stuff. Now, even looking back to like seeing what Liv Charette and Adria Delon did by putting out Mutant Music NFT. And I found out about them through your Twitter space with Liz. Janie, of course, who's like everywhere, right? Fanzo is a staple in the group. Kala, you know, who was always using her IP rights from her NFT to kind of help promote her, you know, fitness brand and stuff. It's just, there's a lot of really cool people who, you know, I know that we're all growing, right? As we become seniors looking to graduate, it doesn't mean that there's not like alumni events and stuff like that, or homecomings. But, you know, looking back at all of it, I do have to ask, first of all, what do you think has been your greatest accomplishment in the course of Web3 for the 2 years? I know it feels like it's been 20 years. But in the time that you had in Web3, what do you think was your greatest accomplishment?
Yeah. Okay. My greatest accomplishment, without a doubt, is the friendship from the different communities I either participated in or helped build. That will forever be my number one accomplishment. I feel so blessed, honestly, to have the opportunity to meet people from all over the world, and become like genuine friends with them. That will forever be the blessing of Web3 to me personally. A part two of that, a little more introspective, I think my growth, the permission I gave myself to be authentically who I am and to continue to show up with that authenticity. I mean, even now, my Twitter is not as active as it used to be. And that's also authentic. It's not that I've fallen off. It's that I have life priorities that I've had to attend to. And knowing that I still have my personal brand that is absolutely embedded in my Web3 identity, that's a big personal accomplishment to me. I mean, I sport It's Becky Vich on LinkedIn. So if that doesn't tell you how like proud I am of kind of ripping this Band-Aid off, in terms of, you know, how I express myself and how I represent myself, I don't know what could be to go into a world where it is very buttoned up and corporate and say, yeah, I'm Becky Woe, I have a master's degree, but also you may know me as It's BeckyBitch.e. Little hearts, right? And I always like, of course I'm going to soften that because I'm not a mean person, which is hilarious when you think about, you know, the brand that I built, including Degen Diaries and Mean Girls. But it was always with the intention of being open and inclusive. And I am very proud of myself for the way that I have stayed true to me, being open, being inclusive, being authentic, and being intentional.
I first have to say, we're all very, very proud of you as well. You know, so you're not just proud of yourself. Like, you've had a lot of people who saw your journey. I personally had a chance to see, you know, the stuff in the public, and then obviously the stuff that we worked on behind the scenes. So I know just about as much as, you know, almost anyone, how hard you've worked and how much you've seen and how many things you've been through. And there's a lot of things, right, that I feel like people are going to remember about you and how you made them feel, right? I think that's an old expression is, you don't always remember the things people say, but you remember how they made you feel. So shout out to you for that. You did have some great accomplishments. The other thing I was curious was, what's something, if you were to look back, like, you would change, you would do differently, maybe something that you kind of wish like you had steered in another direction, like over your time in Web3 so far?
Yeah, this is a great question. I think if I could go back and do things differently, I think I would have given myself more structure. I took on roles knowing that they were going to be very ambiguous, and not everything was what I felt capable of doing or what I wanted to do at the time. And it taught me a lot about my personal boundaries and my professional boundaries and what I wanted out of, you know, a role or a job or, you know, whatever it was going to become. So I wish, looking back, that I had known what those were, but I think it's just such a learning lesson and I needed it. And I don't think I could change anything about it now, because each of the failures that I've had have taught me so much about myself and how to navigate those failures. And then, like we said, I do kind of wish I had flipped a little more, because I have some bomb NFTs in my wallet. And like, now at this point, they're not going anywhere because there's no point. It, like I said, I consider it a cultural investment, but yeah, it would have been nice to make a little money.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it's like the price of education, you know, you have the education through the collector side. You had it from the team side, the builder side. You worked with multiple teams, and, you know, I think looking back, something that I've said on the last couple of episodes, it's really more of like a rhetorical question, but, you know, in Web3, did NFT brands or founders or whatever you want to call the folks who came out with things that maybe aren't here anymore, or maybe just whatever, aren't around anymore, did they overshoot for what they thought they were going to be able to do in Web3, right? Like, come out and say like, hey, we plan to have a Netflix show, have an ice cream flavor, have an island where like all of our holders are going to be able to go for free. Or, you know, were there just some people who came in along the way who said things knowing they were never going to do it? And I just like, I look back and I'm just, I didn't, it was hard to see at the time. Like, it was so obvious, but also so hard to see, because when you're in it and you're working with people and they kind of tell you something, you're like, all right, well, why would they lie? And then in the end, you're like, oh yeah, to make money. Like so many other people have lied about throughout like the history of time. So anyway, I don't really know where I was going with that. I just think that we've seen so much and it's given us so much of an education. And, you know, I'm invested in you as a person. So whether you and Vic, you know, go back to the Northwest, or you make your way out to back to NYC or something like that, I'm going to be a part of, you know, Becky and Vic and Liz's, you know, ride for the end of time. And it could be back to NFT land. It could be Twitter Spaces, or it could be, you know, just kind of hanging out on a boat in Tahoe. Hint, hint. But, you know, I'll end it with this to kind of keep things light, because, you know, it's been a roller coaster of a couple of years. We talked about some of our buddies. I mean, I think about like the folks that we've worked with, like, you know, Brandon and Fez Cap and the council there, obviously Sparks. And then you brought up like Turtle and D-Rose, like that, the vibe there when we were talking hip hop in like, if somebody's coming in to like, look at like, it's literally pictures of if you haven't seen a picture of a crypto chick out there, take a look at what it looks like. And then imagine going into what the Discord and like what people might be talking about, right? Fashion and stuff like that. No, we literally had it out about who are the top hip hop artists, and Turtle was creating playlists on Spotify and stuff, sending it over to us. So I have to ask you this. This is just for Turtle and D-Rose. Becky, who are your top five hip hop artists of all time, and why are they all Drake?
Okay, of course they're all Drake because I am a lyrical stan. That will probably never change. But in all seriousness, my top five, definitely, obviously Drake. Gotta throw my mans in there. I mean, you can't, even if you think he's corny, you can't knock the genius. Like, there's magic in this. Okay, Kanye, I've mentioned before, I do miss the old Kanye. We're talking College Dropout, My Dark Twisted Fantasy. Like, there is an emotional connection, especially College Dropout and Late Registration. Those just, like, those are my era. And what I think myself, Turtle, and D-Rose bonded over the most. We had like listening parties in the CC Discord way back when. Oh my God, those were so fun. Jay-Z, have to give it to him. I'm a Lil Wayne fan, obviously. He put my mans on, so I mean. But also, I'm really impressed with Lil Wayne's journey, especially as I look back at him as an artist. He was like a feature and kind of like annoying on a lot of like older, more underground, but like you would see them on music videos on MTV. And he's like this 14-year-old kid with this grill already, right? And he has stayed true to himself through his entire career. So, Lil Wayne.
Yeah, I had that Hot Boys album where Lil Wayne was like a teenager. And yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Vic and I were just watching like old music videos, and one of those came up, and I was like, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Like, but you hear it already. His style is already so ingrained because it's so authentic to him.
Yeah.
I think that's an overarching theme of this. I'm very into authentic people, authentic artists. I love people that can express themselves in that way. And I think that's why my artist list is what it is. Okay. So we have Drake, Kanye, Jay-Z, Lil Wayne. Okay. So I'm going to have to throw this one back, and I'm not saying there aren't other amazing modern rappers. For example, I'm like super into NF. He doesn't cuss in his music. It's still so hype and so motivating. He also struggles with a lot of things that I struggle with, like anxiety and depression. And it's soul music for me. But I think I have to give it to like the generation that came before my favorite artists. And I don't know if it's like Biggie, if it's Pac, but like that era of music, like I'm gonna have to give it to one of them. Again, like I'm truly not picking sides. I think that chapter bred what was going to become the next chapter of hip hop, and without them, it wouldn't have become what it is. So yeah. I guess I'm like tied on my fifth place, but that's my lineup.
You know what? I applaud you for coming up with five. I know a lot of people like me would have probably thought too deeply, like, are we talking about my favorite five, or like the top five that other people would say, or like top five selling or whatever? Like, that's usually, it's always hard for me to answer that. So yeah, props to you for staying authentic. I thought maybe we'd hear a little bit of Maybach music. Because I know you like your
my Ricky Ross. Okay, yes. I love Rick Ross. I would say Rick Ross is the most underrated rapper, strictly because of his poetry.
Yeah. I know there's a lot. Like, there's a lot that you could have mentioned, and we had, I think, a whole hour long conversation on the space about that. But you know, I think down the road people are going to be asking like one another, you know, who are your top five, you know, the people in Web3 that inspired you, or like they're going to be asking like who are the top five you know, OG, you know, NFT brands or whatever. And, you know, I think a lot of people are going to remember some of these days. They're going to remember what it was like, especially, you know, if they were in it with us, not, you know, not just kind of like looking back, listening to a podcast here or there. But, you know, I think that you're in a lot of people's top five, you know, and I want to end kind of with that. Like, you're in a lot of people's favorite people group, and you're not seeing your friends run around Miami with popsicle sticks with your PFP on it if you aren't one of those people. You know, like, you've got yourself a support system, and dare I say, like, you know, actual friends from this whole thing. And I personally, I know that your journey's not done. I know that it might look different than the way that it started, but that's what happens to all of us, because that's what this whole crazy mixed up kind of nerdy kind of cool brand new world of NFTs and Web3 is all about. And honestly, my journey wouldn't have been the same if you weren't a part of it. So thank you so much for being a guest on here. I'm really excited to see the next season, or not see the next season, but hear the next season of Web3 Besties whenever it does come out. And, you know, got to say hi to Vic. You got to say hi to Liz for us, and we'll meet back together soon. So anyway, if there's anything you want to tell the folks out there, because I know you got a lot of friends listening, what's something that you want to leave them with?
Well, first of all, Trav, it's an honor, honestly, to be not only on the podcast, but to have become such good friends with you. You are such good people. Like, you are one of those really authentic, you give your heart out. You wear your heart on your sleeve, and you don't just talk the talk, you really walk the walk. So it's an honor to be in your friend circle in general. I'm also a little shocked that you think I would be in people's top five, but that is extremely humbling. Of course, you never think of yourself as that person, or maybe some people do. I don't. I was always in it for the love of it. And I think the goodwill that people showed me is often what was reflected in my brand, in my communications, in the work that I did. I think everyone deserves an opportunity to involve themselves in something that they're passionate about. And I think everyone deserves the opportunity to try to contribute to that thing that they're passionate about. And I feel very fortunate to have been given both the opportunity and the hand to pull me up into these ranks from really incredible and influential and just really smart and down-to-earth people. And yeah, it's been a wild ride. It's been a journey, shall we say? But I wouldn't trade a single ounce of it, because this is what it became. So I think I'll leave with that. But this has been so fun, Trav, and I have so enjoyed reminiscing on some of those earlier times. I'm so glad we got to talk about how much work we've done in the space together. You have been a day one for me. You were a Web3 bestie before Web3 Besties was coined by Liz and I. I'm super grateful. I'm grateful for this community. I'm grateful for this inner circle. And I love you guys. Always will.
Well, the feeling is definitely mutual, everybody out there. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Becky Wowo as we took a walk down memory lane. You know, things were very different just a year ago, just a year and a half ago in that Web3 space. But some of the things that maintain, that last a little bit longer, are those bonds. And absolutely one of the people who I will continue to have that bond with, of course, is Becky and her husband, Vic, as we talked about some great people during the course of this episode. I think that it really brought back a lot of memories, brought back a lot of feels. If you were a holder and you were in the communities that we were, you know, active in, I hope that this helped sort of, you know, kind of like bookend some of that. I know a lot of people left the space to get back into real work. I have a friend in the space who's made millions of dollars with their project, they're still very active, but took a job back in real life. And I feel like, you know, as markets change, people might still want to be doing great things in Web3. That doesn't mean that they don't have, you know, their own lives and things like that. So great to see Becky still doing her thing out there. And speaking of doing her thing, guys, we've got two episodes left for season one. I can't believe that the season one is coming to a close, but I'm very excited. I hope you're excited about the next couple episodes and some of the good things that we have coming up in season two. Some of you might have noticed a couple of the little format changes. But just like always, we're going to keep doing what we always try to do from now and into the future. And that is, of course, bring one love to Web3. And I'll catch you next time. Peace.